Jesus never takes volunteers. Rather, he is the one who initiates discipleship.
Dr. John Pless, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship.
Jesus is the one who confiscates the lives of those that he chooses through his word and makes of them disciples.
Learn more about this new resource, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship, at issuesetc.org.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly?
And accept. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Those are the words of Psalm 82. It's a psalm that begins with God sitting there in the council of the mighty. He is executing his divine judgment. And we're going to continue a short series that we're doing with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on Psalm 82. Part two today, we're going to do a little review of what we've done so far, and then we're going to talk about the role of the earthly judge. Joining us, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He's a regular guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, and author of the book Reading Isaiah with Luther. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
Give us a quick review of where we've been so far in our short series.
Well, what we wanted to do is look at Psalm 82 in light of John's gospel. In particular, in Psalm 82 at verse 6, we have these words. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Now, this passage is used by Jesus in John chapter 10, in which you have Jesus, who is true God, who is the true Son of the Most High. He comes to the earthly rulers. He comes to the earthly teachers who are to teach God's word, and they refuse to listen to him. They reject him. They do not receive him. And this is where Jesus will use this passage in John chapter 7 and saying, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because Jesus said he's the Son of God? Now, this gives to us a particular window into understanding this psalm, that when we talk about gods, the Elohim, that Hebrew word, that you have Elohim in heaven, the true God, and then on earth you have his judges, his representatives on earth, who are to judge with right judgment. Now, that is according to his word and according to his will. So when Jesus, who is true God, comes to earth, the incarnate one takes upon flesh and blood, he comes down from heaven, you have this picture in Psalm 82 of the true God coming to judge these earthly gods, if you will. It's these judges who are representatives of God on earth.
So let's talk about the earthly judge. You say Elohim on earth and his divine counsel.
Yeah, so when we talk about Elohim, we have Elohim in heaven. So this is God in heaven. And God reveals himself, of course, with his word. And that's how we can hear God's voice here on earth. And then God will set up an office, a place where a man is placed to speak the word of God and to judge according to God's word. So that God institutes this whole office of judges who are to be gods, if you will. I mean, they are God's representative on earth. And what they are supposed to do is in right judgment, they're to acquit the innocent and they are to condemn the guilty. They're the ones who are supposed to be giving the verdict of God from heaven here on earth. And the only way you can give that verdict is by having God's word, so that you speak in unison of voice with what God declares in heaven is what he declares on earth. I mean, in a similar way, we talk about this in the Lord's Prayer, when we desire that God's will would be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And the picture you have here in Psalm 82 is that Jesus, who is true God, he will come to judge the so-called gods. the judges on earth. He who is true judge will be judged by them. Jesus, who is innocent, he will come and he will then condemn these earthly judges. But first, what will happen is they will reject Jesus and they will condemn him to death. Jesus, being the innocent one, is condemned by him, so that in heaven, those who are guilty can be acquitted by Jesus. So when Jesus comes to earth as the true man, the true God, who comes to take away our sin, he has no sin. He's innocent, but yet he's condemned in our stead. He takes away our sin so that before the Father in heaven, we can be justified. So Jesus is handed over for our transgressions, and he's raised for our justification. And this whole picture here is that you have Elohim in heaven, Elohim on earth, and this is the mystery of the incarnation, that God himself comes to dwell on earth to make all things right.
So Jesus is this earthly judge.
He is true God in heaven, true God on earth. He comes to be judged by these earthly judges. He comes here in ultimately to take our sin and then to be condemned for it. And then in the process, he will also then judge these earthly judges. This is the idea of God coming to this divine council. That's how this psalm opens up, that the Lord is coming to judge. And this is similar to what you have in Isaiah chapter 3, when Yahweh has taken his place to contend, he stands to judge the peoples. So these earthly judges are God, God's representatives on earth. We see this whole institution like in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where Moses is talking in that last book, his farewell sermon, where he is going to lead the Israelites up to the promised land, but then of course Joshua will take them in. And he talks to him in chapter 1 immediately about these judges who are to hear the cases, that they're the ones who are to judge with right judgment. You go through the whole book of Deuteronomy and you see this clearly over and over again, that they're going to appoint judges in each of the towns so that they can judge according to this right judgment and not pervert justice. But what happens in humanity because of the fall into sin and the corrupted heart, we are placed into these offices, but by nature, because we're sinful, we corrupt these offices because we are corrupted in sin. We abuse these offices, we misuse these offices, so justice is perverted. And so when Jesus comes, he comes as the one who is weak. He comes as the one who is poor. He comes as the one who is innocent, but yet he's going to be condemned. But ultimately, he is the judge of judges, so that when he's condemned on the cross, yet this verdict will be overturned in the resurrection. And then in the ascension, we see Jesus now at the right hand of the Father.
So there's a strong parallel, you point out, between Psalm 82 and Psalm 2. Introduce us to Psalm 2. And I think you would like to interpret the former in light of the latter.
Yeah, so what we want to see here in Psalm 2, it talks about how the kings of the earth have set themselves up. The rulers are taking counsel together, and what are they doing? They're plotting and they're planning against Yahweh and against his anointed. So that's the picture you see in Psalm 2 as it opens up. Well, it's the same type of a picture that you see here in Psalm 82, where it begins by saying that God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. And Psalm 2 helps us to understand that the picture is to point to Christ, so that we can see the person and work of Christ in both Psalm 2 and as it is reflected also in Psalm 82. Now, going back to Psalm 2, when the kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and his anointed, these are to be the representatives of God on earth. And they are not acting in a godly manner. They are going to judge Christ. They're going to condemn Christ. And so in Psalm 2, you have these words where, I will tell of the decree, Yahweh said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now, in a lot of these psalms, what we have is this conversation that's going on. The conversation with Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, as our true high priest, praying to the Father in behalf of us. He is the head, we are the body. And you have the conversation between the Father and the Son. You also have the conversation between the Son and his people. And here you have this declaration that he is the Son in Psalm 2. You are my son, today I've begotten you. These are the words that are from the Father. Now, this is the same language that we have in Psalm 82 about how these earthly rulers are to be called Elohim. They are to be called sons of the Most High. Well, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He is co-essential, co-eternal, and co-equal with the Father. And in humanity, in the office of a judge, you are placed there with a title of God and a title of Son of the Most High. But the true Son will then be judged by these sons with a title. And so in Psalm 2, the language of the Son there, that this is God's Son, this is God's Christ, God's anointed one. And therefore in Psalm 2, it says, therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned, O judges of the earth. That's Psalm 2 of verse 10. That these are the ones who are to judge on earth, but they are to judge with right judgment in accordance with God's will that is revealed in God's word. Now, of course, Psalm 2 ends on that note saying, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled, but blessed are all who take refuge in him. So the picture again in Psalm 2 is you see Christ, who is the true Son of God. He is the anointed. He's the one who comes to the judges of the earth. He's the one who will be judged by the judges of the earth, but yet he's the one who will ultimately be the judges of judges, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, that Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. In Psalm 82, again, it's that language of these earthly judges are given the title Elohim. They're given the title Sons of the Most High. And here in Psalm 2, helping us to interpret this, again, is the idea that these judges are sitting in council, but yet God is sitting in heaven and laughing. So in Psalm 2 at verse 4, you have that distinction between Elohim in heaven, Elohim on earth. These judges in an office with a title on earth think they can get away with these things, but God, of course, in heaven laughs. So he who sits in heaven laughs, the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And this picture in Psalm 2 then is the person and work of Christ who comes to his own. He comes from heaven, came down from heaven for our salvation, but yet he comes to judge these earthly judges, and at the same time, he comes to be judged by these earthly judges. But in his crucifixion and in his resurrection and his ascension, we will see the confirmation of the promise of the Messiah who will come. So in Psalm 2, you have this ending note also on the idea where the Son is given this promise, saying, ask of me, ask of the Father, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them like pieces like a potter's vessel. That this picture in Psalm 2 is of the ascension, that Christ is the anointed one of the Father, and his kingdom will run to the ends of the earth. That here we have this picture of the conversion of the Gentiles. Well, that language of making the nations your inheritance is the same kind of a language and picture that we have in Psalm 82 at verse 8, in which the Father says, arise, O God, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. And so when we pray the psalm, we are speaking in unison with the Father that we want Christ to arise, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. And this arising has to do with the picture of the resurrection and the ascension. So when we look at Psalm 2, it helps us understand what's taking place in Psalm 82. the person and work of Christ who comes to his own people. His own people do not receive him. They do not judge with right judgment in according to God's word and God's will, but he will come and be judged by them, and then this judgment will be overturned in the resurrection.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's author of the book, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's part two of our short series with him on Psalm 82. We'll talk a little bit more about Psalm 2 as it casts light on Psalm 82 right after this.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's the conclusion of our two-part series on Psalm 82. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Before the break, you were talking about Psalm 2 and its parallels there. I wanted you to talk a little bit. There's some judgment there at the beginning, a lot of judgment at the beginning of Psalm 2. But then in verse 10, it says, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." You had mentioned the verses that follow that previously, but what are those words about?
Yes, so when you have throughout the scripture, you have the law and the gospel. Of course, the law revealing to us what God's eternal will is. In our sinful nature, we are enemies of God. We are conceived and born in original sin. And so when that law comes to us, it of course gives to us the knowledge of our sin. When these earthly judges are going to be judged by God, all of this is brought before their eyes. And so this is like a warning shot saying, "Be warned, O kings, O rulers of the earth, you who are supposed to represent God, watch out. The judgment is coming. You who think you can judge the people without justice, well, justice will come. Where you judge here on earth, there is one who is the judge of judges above." And here, when you have that message of judgment, you have that message there so that you see, you recognize your sin and the need that you have for a Savior. In verse 12, this is, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish in your way." Now, this sounds very wrathful, but this is in the context of this warning, the law threatening punishment for these earthly judges, these earthly kings, these earthly rulers who are trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming. And the idea is that now is still the time of salvation. Now is the day in which you can find reconciliation. So kiss the Son now before it is too late. Because when Jesus has ascended into heaven now, Jesus stands as our high priest. He is our one mediator with God. But as we confess in the creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead on that last day. It's too late on the last day. So on the last day, you can't plead, "Well, can I get reconciliation now?" Well, the time of salvation has ended, and now it's the time of judgment on the last day, the last judgment. So this gospel nugget here is in the midst of this threats of the law. So kiss the Son now. In other words, join with the Son now while there is still time. And that's why it ends on this note saying, and with this promise, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So the law warns of the wrath to come, but the gospel gives us the promise and the assurance of the place where we can run to for refuge. It is in Christ alone, the true Son of God, the true Son of the Most High, the true Elohim from heaven above, who is incarnate in the flesh, Elohim on earth, with us. He is Emmanuel. So that promise is kind of sandwiched there. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. And then it ends on that note, blessed are all who take refuge in him. That would be the Son.
Talk about, back to Psalm 82, verses 2 through 5, what it is God speaks against the earthly judges.
Yeah, so what's happening here again is when Christ comes to these judges, remember that Christ is speaking throughout John's gospel and he's telling them that, "I'm telling you that unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins." So he's giving them the fair warning. He's giving them this lookout, the threat of punishment to come, but at the same time, he gives himself as the one who is the answer, the one who is the refuge. And here in these verses, you have that conversation going on. The conversation of God coming to judge these earthly judges. And so the question is put before them. And remember in the Psalms, the questions are always questions of meditation and contemplation. So the question is spoken against these judges, spoken to them saying, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" Now, this is that meditative statement to go before them so that they would recognize and realize their situation, that they have not been properly representing on a God on earth. They are not judging with right judgment. They are judging with their own opinions, apart and contrary to God's word. And so that question goes before them for meditation, contemplation, and then you have these words at verse 3 spoken against them saying, "Give justice to the weak." I mean, remember, that's what your duty was. That's what you were commissioned to do, that you were to give justice to the fatherless, that you were to maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute, that you were to rescue the weak and the needy, you are to deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That was their role, that was their office, that's what they were told to do, and now once again it's being reiterated to them. So when Christ comes to them, Christ is the one who becomes a weak, becomes fatherless, becomes afflicted, becomes destitute, becomes needy, but yet he is delivered over to the hands of the wicked. So the judges don't stop to prevent this. The judges are the ones who are perverting justice and handing Jesus over to be judged and condemned. Of course, we see this ultimately in that picture with Jesus and Barabbas and Pontius Pilate saying, you know, behold the man, what should I do? This is your king, king of the Jews. I'm going to release somebody. Who should I release? And they want the guy, Barabbas, who is guilty. They want him released instead of Jesus. So you see that picture of that whole perversion of justice. But here, that speaking is against the judges. So Jesus will come and he will speak against the judges, and then he will be judged by them as he's delivered over into their hands.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He's author of the book, Reading Isaiah with Luther. This book is a great resource if you want to kind of get into the inner workings of Luther's mind as he walked through this big Old Testament book. He was, after all, an Old Testament scholar and university professor. This is the book for you. You actually read along Isaiah with Luther. It's very aptly titled. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Reading Isaiah with Luther by Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. On the other side of the break, there's that line, all the foundations of the earth will be shaken. We'll find out what it means.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
What is a life of discipleship? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Professor John Pless. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Germantown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. And Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's part two of our short series on Psalm 82 with him. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, there's that line there in, well, near the end of Psalm 82, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. What does that mean?
Well, no, we look at this passage where they neither have the knowledge nor the understanding, that they walk about in the darkness. This is the situation of this fallen world in which the devil has deceived us. He's duped us, and this whole darkness descends upon humanity. Remember, as we talked last time, the devil is the ruler of this world, or the god of this world. But when Christ comes to die on the cross, the god of this world, the devil, he has been judged, the one who tries to prevent the kingdom of God from coming. And God's kingdom comes by the proclamation and preaching of his word. And so this whole foundations of the earth are now shaken when God comes here. So throughout the Old Testament, this language of an earthquake, the language of when the earth shakes, this is a significant event when things in creation are now falling apart. They're kind of, the earth is supposed to be stationary. You're supposed to have your ground and be able to stand on your ground. But now when it starts opening up and people start falling into the ground, this is all a picture of judgment, of things that were what we thought were normal now become abnormal, where God steps down on the ground and you see this foundation shaking. So the light comes into the darkness. This is all John's gospel, of course, that we are to look to the light, but we prefer the darkness instead because of our corrupted hearts. In John 12, of course, Jesus talks about, hey, while the light is still here, believe in the light that you may be sons of light. That being sons of the light are being enlightened by the Holy Spirit with the knowledge and understanding of Christ. But when Christ comes and that rejection of Christ and the foundations of the earth are shaken, this fallen world is now starting to fall apart as we talk about the anticipation and the moaning and the groaning of this present creation, waiting and anticipating the new heavens and the new earth. So when we see these earthquakes shaking this foundations of the earth, we know things are starting to change and God's judgment is coming. And we see that earthquake, the shaking of the earth at the crucifixion of Jesus, so that when Jesus is on the cross and when he dies in Matthew chapter 27, the centurion is looking at Jesus as the earth is shaking and quaking, and he says, truly, this is the Son of God. Now, remember in Psalm 2 and in Psalm 82, the issue at hand is this title, Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Jesus is the true, only begotten Son of God. It's not just a title. He's not just a mere human being in an office, but he is true God of true God. He is light of light, begotten, not made. And hear that confession when the earthquake happens at the crucifixion. Of course, in the resurrection itself, that when the tomb becomes empty, you have this great earthquake that takes place, and of course the stone is rolled back, and you can see that the tomb is empty. So the earthquake is at the crucifixion. The foundations of the earth are shaking at the resurrection. It's an overturning of the judgment by the judges of the earth, the gods of the earth who condemned Christ to death, and now you have the vindication in the resurrection. So he's handed over for our trespasses, but he's raised for our justification. And then you see the earth shaking and quaking, these foundations of this order of things now in a fallen creation, the old creation is coming to an end. So in the book of Revelation, which is basically a sermon about the ascension of Christ, that he ascends to the right hand of the Father, that throughout the book of Revelation, you see these earthquakes taking place, like in Revelation chapter 6 or Revelation chapter 8 in particular, where the Lamb who was slain, he's opening up the scroll, the seventh seal. And this is where the earth is shaking and quaking. In Revelation chapter 11, you have the earthquake. Of course, Revelation chapter 16, you have the great earthquake. And now you have Babylon the Great is now going to be made to drink the cup of the wine and fury of God's wrath. So once again, that was that picture in Psalm 2, this warning, be warned, O kings of the earth, be wise, because the coming judgment is coming. The coming king is coming. And there is going to be the wrath. There is going to be this perishing at the end. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to kiss the Son, and blessed are all who take refuge in him. And so when Psalm 82 ends on that note, arise, O God, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. This is the picture of the foundation shaking in Jesus overcomes death in the grave. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus is ascended. And now he is our mediator. Now is the time of salvation. But yet we confess he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, and he's author of the book Reading Isaiah with Luther. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the internet as a religious experience with Pastor Trevor Sutton, and we'll continue our series on Lutheran catechesis, talking with Pastor Peter Bender about the second article of the Creed and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that when everything is shaken, what remains is that which cannot be shaken. And the day is coming, that day of judgment, yes, indeed, when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, as we confess, when everything will be shaken. He will lift up his voice and shake everything, and the only thing that will remain is what cannot be shaken, his kingdom, his righteousness, found now in us by faith, and a new heaven and a new earth. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.